speaking today with Farooq Shami, who is a candidate for governor, for the Democratic nomination for governor this year. Farooq, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
I'm running to serve the people of the great state of Texas and create jobs and improve the economy so people can see the American dream still alive.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of those things, because obviously the economy and the state of the budget are big concerns right now. As you know, the budget is in a multi-billion dollar shortfall. Revenue is projected to be considerably short, and unlike 2009, we're not expecting there to be any stimulus funds to come in and help balance the budget. So what approach do you want to see taken to deal with the shortfall that the legislature will be facing in 2011?
Well, you know, as we speak, I'm creating jobs already, and that's really the answer to stimulate the economy and to stay on budget is really to create jobs. The more jobs we have, the more people will be paying taxes, and we will get out of deficit. That's what I'm running, you know, because, you know, the people who are running the state are not running it like business, and they don't understand business. And in business, you do priorities. What are the priorities? And in this case, the priorities are the people and the jobs. You know, we need a government and a governor that represent the people, not special interest groups and not lobbyists. So creating jobs is the answer.
Okay. Well, let's talk more specifically. What specific policies would you, as governor, want to implement where you have the authority, or want to encourage the legislature to write bills around to stimulate job creation in Texas?
You know, stimulating the economy, it takes everybody. It takes the federal government, it takes the state, the city, the county, it takes all citizen and private citizen. What we need is, you know, to work with business people, and my concept is to make Texas, you know, the capital of the United States of America and the world for green energy. And I'd like to start by creating companies that manufacture solar panels immediately, and I'm working with community colleges also for installing the, you know, those panels. And there is money, you know, funds that will really can help each reduce their electric bill, and hopefully, you know, and clean our water, skies, and all of the pollution. So the answer is in green jobs, you know, right away. The other is, you know, I will use the funds from the government, federal, state, you know, local, to build, you know, the and repair the infrastructure, our roads, our highways, our bridges. That can put everybody to work. We have over a million people, you know, looking for jobs. We need to create jobs immediately for everybody so people, you know, can enjoy, you know, living the as Texans and as Americans. We need to declare war on poverty, and I need the legislation to help me in that. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about the people of Texas and the small businesses. Encourage the small businesses. Encourage the entrepreneur. Use the Texas Enterprise Fund. Use the Energy Fund to help entrepreneur, to help the small business. People who have 25 employees, you know, help them. These are the people who can create the jobs. And we need to work with corporations as well, you know, and incite them to bring jobs back to the United States of America and to the state of Texas. You know, the politicians have exported our money and exported our jobs. It's time to be patriotic. It's time to be Texan. It's time to be American. We need to bring our jobs back. We need manufacturing. We need made in Texas. That will stimulate the economy. We need a war on poverty.
Well, Governor Perry, of course, has used the Texas Enterprise Fund. It was set up it was created by the legislature during his time in office, and you know, recently the group Texans for Public Justice showed that that Barry has had to redefine some of the metrics that were set for a number of the companies that were given Texas Enterprise Fund grants because they didn't meet their job creation targets. I mean, if you use that kind of approach, how do you ensure that the companies that are being given those kinds of grants actually create the jobs that, you know, they've agreed to?
Well, that's what I say, entrepreneur and small businesses. That's the people who you need to empower. Those are the people who hire, you know, and create jobs. You know, that we want to make sure that is, you know, we want to run a transparent government and a transparent budget. You know, we need people to know where their money, where their taxes are going. It has to go to the people, not the special interest group and the lobbyists, and not the people around the governor. You know, we need that to go to the people who can stimulate the economy, and that's the small business and the medium-sized people, businesses that can make okay. things happen.
I mean, one reason...
And it's easy to monitor small companies.
True enough. One reason why Texas is facing a budget shortfall, of course, is because in 2006, in response to a state Supreme Court ruling about the nature of the public school finance system, the Texas legislature in a special session reduced property taxes by 50 cents and replaced or tried to replace that revenue with the business margins tax, but that tax has never kept up with the loss in revenue from the property tax cut, and so there's now a structural deficit in the budget. What if anything, needs to be done about that?
Well, you know, I mean, the property tax is one of the highest in the nation, is in the state of Texas, definitely. And it can be reduced, and reduce the deficit by creating jobs for everybody, and everybody, you know, will be paid taxes. You know, when people are employed, you're talking about a million people at least, in 930, you know, 63,000, and employed in the state of Texas. So those people are working. There is no food stamps. There is no unemployment. That there is, you know, they are paying taxes. So as you know, you think about it from a business point of view. You hire those people. They pay taxes. Then there are more taxpayers. You know, when we have a million people not paying taxes and receiving unemployment and is receiving, you know, other state funds, that's really where the causes the deficit. To counter that as a business, you create money, you create jobs, and that brings more taxes.
Okay. You spoke earlier also about infrastructure needs. As you know, the gas tax in Texas has not been raised since 1991, and TxDOT says and that you know there isn't enough money coming in from the gas tax to fund Texas's current and future transportation needs. That was you know that was what led Rick Perry to propose the Trans-Texas Corridor and its system of privatized toll roads that has ran into a lot of resistance and more or less seems to be dead now. But the underlying problem, the lack of funding for TxDOT and transportation needs is still there. Some people, such as Republican State Senator John Corona, have proposed a one-time increase in the gas tax of 10 cents and indexing it to inflation to meet the transportation funding needs. Do you endorse that approach, or do you prefer a different approach?
Well, against, you know, the toll roads, definitely, you know, especially, you know, by foreign countries, you know, owning our roads. I think, you know, that once we divide it, that the federal government pays for some, and the city, the state, you know, the county, everybody's responsible for their area, and that would help everybody. And if I am to really put taxes on gas, I would put it on the oil companies rather than, you know, there isn't the price. And if they raise the price of gas, it would be a different story. You know, I think they, you know, these are the people, if you look at it, who is making the most money? Oil companies are making lots of money in the field. So I think that's the people who can be taxed, you know, for the roads.
Okay. Just this past week, the federal government announced a number of grants to states for high-speed rail projects. There were $8 billion doled out. Texas got something on the order of about $10 million, much, you know, essentially a pittance. And the reason why is because other states, California, Florida, Illinois in particular, were better organized and were, you know, had a unified government, if you will, in favor of moving forward on high-speed rail projects. Texas lags way behind on that. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that's why we need to change the government of Texas. You know, that's why I need to be the governor. You know, I will negotiate and be ready to negotiate with the federal government and get much more money than the $10 million. That's a drop in the bucket. It doesn't help us that much. You know, we can get more funds if we are prepared and we have a transparent government that, you know, we need that help. You know, we will get it.
Okay. Since you've talked about bringing more people into the economy, that sort of leads naturally into discussion of immigration, because we have in Texas a large number of undocumented people who are really not part of the system. They contribute to the economy, but in not quite in the same way, because they're undocumented. What role should Texas be taking in dealing with these folks? And, you know, the related issue of border security, which is always a hot topic in this state, you know, what role, if any, should Texas be playing in dealing with border issues?
Well, you know, immigration is a federal issue. But what concerns me is, as the state of Texas with the longest border with Mexico, and what we did so far is spend $1 billion on 28 miles of cameras that don't work, you know, most of the time, and that could delay an illegal immigrant for 5 minutes only. So that's a failing, you know, project. And building a wall, I am for building bridges with Mexico, not building a wall. You know, Mexico is our neighbor. Mexico is, you know, a good place that, you know, we import and export. We do good business. We have lots of culture and lots of relationship and blood relationship between us and Mexico. We need to bring that wall down, and I would use, you know, the wall, actually the area, as a free zone and duty free. And what I will do, I will encourage corporations to bring their manufacturing to the border on our side, and I will, as with my international experience, I will use it to negotiate with the country of Mexico and the private business of Mexico to bring it to their side of the border. I think once, you know, we populate the border, it's an answer for security of the border. It would be less drugs, less violence, you know, which we are faced with. And talking to lots of security people, you know, and what they suggest is really populate the border. And the only way to populate the border is to put businesses there and make it, you know, an area, industrialized area, you know, for the whole country. You know, I think, you know, we have unemployed people, definitely, and that we can create jobs. And I believe that would raise the level of income on the Mexican side when they put jobs. And once you create jobs, you know, people are not born to be criminals. And Mexicans are not in a hurry to come to our country. They would rather stay where they are if they have jobs. I think, you know, we need to raise the level of income, or they need to raise the level of income on their side, and us creating jobs, you know, related, you know, that they, we can cross business between us and Mexico. I'm definitely against illegal immigration. I am for legal immigration, and our border would be just like us and Canada, you know, in the future. But you got to populate the border, you got businesses on the border, you got great jobs on both sides of the border. Our side is our responsibility, the other is the Mexican side. This is my opinion on the border.
Okay. As you know, in 2003, as a measure to deal with a budget deficit back then, the legislature allowed public universities to set their own tuition in return for getting less direct money from the state. Since that time, tuition at public universities has risen rapidly,
yes,
and you know, a lot of people are complaining that it's pricing them out of it. Do you believe that the tuition deregulation plan that was put in place in 2003 needs to be revisited, and if so, how would you do it?
Definitely that needs to be revisited, you know, because the success of any economy, of any country, is education. And once we raise the tuition at universities, you're making it to the rich and the famous, and denying affordable education should be the rights of every Texan. We need to lower tuition, not raise tuition. And I think the state, the federal, you know, that can help on that. We can, you know, create funds for that to help in that and get it perhaps from other areas, priorities that where we can reduce spending and put more in education. You know, the policy, what we're supposed to spend 50% of our budget on education, and we are spending only 30%. So, I mean, we spend in $7,000 average on a student, and we spend in $52,000 on an inmate. You know, we spend in more money on building jails than building schools. So if you reduce one area, you can increase it to education. You can reduce the spending on inmates, you know, reforming that system of, you know, inmates and jail system, in prison system, reduce it. And, you know, we are spending about $7 to $8 billion on inmates in the state of Texas a year. If that can be reduced tremendously, we can save lots of money and we can put it on education. What we need, you know, to reform the justice system and the inmate system, definitely I am against violence, and violent people need to be locked. But people who are not violent, in my opinion, is to take state property and make ranches and fence it good and put those inmates on ranches. They can grow our food, they can raise our meat, and we can pay them. And I'd like to work even with community colleges to open classes, you know, and train those inmates on jobs and pay them while they are inmates. So when they get out, they really rehabilitated, they are good citizens. People are not born criminal or violent, you know, it's poverty and no hope that create that. So if we could reduce that, we could, you know, be really, I mean, instead of 155,000, you know, we might reduce that by, hopefully, by 70, 80, 90%. And all that money can go to education and universities.
Recently, President Obama made some funding available to public schools via the program they're calling Race to the Top. Governor Perry issued an order that prevented Texas schools from applying for those funds on the grounds that he said there were too many strings attached, too many federal requirements that came with it. This was not necessarily popular among school districts. What's your take on that?
You know, my take on Governor Perry, definitely he's not a businessman. He is a career politician. It's all thinking. String attached, you know, they can all be negotiated. But, you know, business person does not turn down money to help the people in Texas. So it's about the people, you know. I would accept that money, definitely, you know, and glad to have the money. You know, because not having the money when he, you know, refused the stimulus money, that's costing the state $700 million for unemployment that the taxpayer, you know, and employers have to pay. So it's really, you know, it's a wrong approach. That's why I want to be the next governor.
Okay. A few years ago as well, as you know, state of Texas passed a law that allowed utilities to be deregulated. And a number of cities are now using deregulated utilities, and they have generally seen faster increases in utility prices than cities like Austin that still own their own utilities. What is your opinion of the utility deregulation that took place, and what, if anything, would you like to see done with it?
Well, I'd like us to really reduce our dependence on foreign oil and turn the state into green energy, producing our electricity whether by the sun or the wind, which we are blessed, you know, to insource and use nature. And I think that would reduce a lot and will drop the price of utilities. And actually, if we put solar panels on every home, maybe someday we don't need those utility companies, you know, anymore. And instead, I believe one day we can reach to the point, if we have a long-term plan, you know, maybe 10 years, you know, people would be selling electricity rather than buying electricity, you know. I mean, with the advanced technology, with the solar panels and the sails and the wind, you know, we can, right now, you know, I mean, my program, we can really sell to the electric power company and reduce the prices, definitely, you know, easily. But we need to work, you know, I mean, to reduce the dependence on foreign oil, and that reduce, you know, if we are producing the sun, that is, you know, bringing the cost down right away.
Okay. As you say, Texas does have a lot of wind energy in it, but a lot of the producers are out in West Texas, and the need for the energy is elsewhere in the state, and right now the the transmission network is not sufficient to handle that. What do you want to see done about that?
Well, you know, where there is wind, there is wind. You know, that, you know, great, but I think we need the sun. You know, we have more places, we have more sun, you know, all day long, you know, we have the sun. We don't have the wind as many hours sometimes, you know, but we have the sun almost every day. And with the technology now, we have efficiency of 88% with solar panels, and I think within time, we can really increase the efficiency once we increase it to, you know, 30-40%, and that would, you know, can come in the next few years. You know, the sun would be sufficient, and the wind, you know, for the green energy, and we don't have to have the coal plants. And look at the advantages we'll have, the clean air, you know. You know, we are one of the most polluted states. You know, Houston is the third most polluted city in the United States of America. We need to reduce that, definitely, you know, for the sake of the future of our children and grandchildren, you know. I mean, to clean, you know, to have clean water, clean air.
Well, since you brought that up, as you know, the Environmental Protection Agency is talking about tightening standards on things like ozone and smog. Some places in Texas are, you know, having a hard time meeting 1997 requirements for, you know, for particulates in the air, and the EPA is proposing to make those limits tighter. The TCEQ and Rick Perry have objected to this. You know, what, you know, where do you stand on this? What should the state of Texas be doing to, you know, meet these needs?
I don't think we, you know, the state of Texas should be waiting even for the federal government or EPA to come critique us or tell us what to do. You know, I mean, we should be concerned about our population and our Texans, that we reduce pollution on our own. We don't need the federal government to tell us how much, and the EPA, you know, to tell us how much to reduce. We need it automatically. It's really human being rights to breathe fresh air. You know, it is a crime to keep continuing, you know, with the pollution that we are doing, you know. I mean, that is not the right thing to do, you know. So my, you know, my concept of the green energy, the sun and the wind, is the answer to all of that.
Okay.
And it takes, you know, takes care of itself by itself without, you know, without even, you know, will be way under regulations even.
As you know, in 2002, the Democrats ran a wealthy businessman who was a first-time candidate as their nominee for governor. It didn't turn out so well. You know, you are a first-time candidate. You know, you don't have an extensive history of voting, according to reports. You have had, you have made some donations in the past to Republican candidates, and also were a supporter of Kinky Friedman in 2006. What do you say to Democratic voters who might be skeptical or might be concerned about that?
Well, you know, I say to everybody, not just to the Democrats, you know, that yes, definitely I made a mistake. I didn't realize that my vote was that important, definitely. And I didn't realize my focus was on my business and my family. I did not care to vote, you know, my focus was business. And now I realize, you know, that, and that's why I registered so many new voters, and I'm calling everybody to join the Democrat Party and vote for the Democrat Party. And in the past, I used to vote when I voted for a person, not for a party.
Okay. And when Democrats go to vote this March to decide their nominee for governor, why should they vote for you?
Because the person with my record speaks for myself, that I'm a good citizen, I'm a good, I'm a doer, I'm a man of action. I'm talking about jobs. I already brought over 1,000 jobs from Korea and China to Houston, to Texas, and I'm working on creating jobs. I'm already, within a month, I'll open in the 5th Ward, creating a factory there. I will be, you know, starting small business and plants, you know, and factories in all depressed and poverty areas, starting with Houston and going all over the state, to really, you know, contribute to the economy, so I can solve. I'm a problem solver, and I'm capable of solving the economy a problem and make it grow, and I'm capable of running the business honest way, a transparent government. I'm asking for $1 a year only as a governor. I'm not running for name or fame. I'm running to serve the state. I am capable, you know, of running the state. I've been in business for almost 44 years, and I know how to run, and the state needs to be run as a business and a transparent, you know, so I can balance the budget, which I cannot say that for the current governor or my opponent, you know, whether it's Rick Perry or Bill White. Both are incapable of creating jobs. Both of them don't have a successful experience. So I have history. I'd like to run the state, you know, just like I run Farooq system, to be profitable, to a balanced budget, and to, you know, there, you know, to make people happy.
Okay. Farooq Shami, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much for your time.